WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Tribal chief walked into Monday Night Raw with shoes and is leaving without. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211 chat. You have Amazon Prime link to your Twitch accounts called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle at the bottom below the screen. You can use credit code RocketSock or Lindsay Ward for an item shop where you buy all your new skins and kicks. And maybe that's where Roman gets his. Because hashtag Epic Partner, we're on the road to SummerSlam this Saturday and Sunday live on Peacock and Netflix. It was the go home. We're here to talk about it. I'm the producer, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
We had some ups, we had some downs, and then we had some shoe thefts. This was an interesting go home to SummerSlam, that's for sure.
Go ahead.
The lasting impression of Roman's shoes getting taken.
That was fantastic.
Because you know, those are like some, like, custom Jordans. Super expensive. Can't find them anywhere else. Jordans, you know? You just know that's what they were. That's what makes it better.
That does what makes it better. We'll talk more about that here in a moment. But it was AJ Styles and the Kabuki Warriors taking on Dominic Mysterio and the tag team champions Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez. Good match. Some great double team action, including AJ Styles assisting Kairi Sane, hitting the insane elbow, diving over the top rope after being launched by AJ Styles down onto Raquel Rodriguez on the floor, allowing AJ Styles and the Kabuki Warriors to get the win over the Judgment Day.
Figured out what it is with the Judgment Day and why I like Roxanne in the Judgment Day.
Why is that?
She matches the energy.
I mean, she stood up for Dom in the match.
But it's not even for that. It's like when they come out, it's like when Raquel and Liv would come out, it would be Liv was all smiling and bubbly and happy and cute, and she was laughing and she was skipping and she was doing all the stuff that she normally does, right? And you had Raquel being super uber serious. You have Roxanne coming out and she's matching Raquel's energy a lot better. And it's very almost Rhea-like in a way, in terms of how Rhea was in the Judgment Day, just a little bit. And then you have everybody else that she came out with tonight kind of matching that. And I think that's what it is. It's just and it's not a shot at Liv at all. It's just the energy is much better in terms of how they all fit together.
I can see that. I can see a little bit of that. Where she matches her energy better. I could see it.
But yeah, this was fantastic. I wouldn't mind seeing this again, honestly. I'd be down.
There was a pep talk in the clubhouse. Finn and JD were talking with Dom, Raquel, and Roxanne, and they were upset. They was like, you know, because they were down, they lost the tag match. Finn gave him pep talk. They said, we were down when we lost Rhea, down when we lost Damian, yada yada. We turned on, you know, when we got rid of them. And then, you know, but he pumped them all up. And then he's like, Dom was like, I should come help you guys. And Finn was like, no, you just stay back here and play video games. And Roxanne gave Dom a Nintendo Switch too, where he could play.
Wow.
Where he could play WWE 2K25. Now available.
That's a shocker. Nice gift.
Nice gift and nice little plug. Raquel's like, you know who likes playing games? Liv. Dom's like, maybe we should call her. Get her on FaceTime.
Okay, honey. Not those kinds of games, you idiot.
Finn and JD defended the tag team titles against the LWO's Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro. Very high flying action from Joaquin and Cruz del Toro. We saw El Grande Americano interfere. Drag Lee took him back to the backstage area, and then another masked Americano showed up and cost Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde the tag team titles. We got two of them.
Oh God, they're multiplying, Chad. There's more than one now.
There's more than one masked man running around. It's a whole theme of luchadors that are running wild.
Does that mean they're a double shot now? Double shot Grande Americano?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it's fine. I like that they're adding more. Someone said they, I've seen a bunch of this on Twitter, they should just make all these different El Grande Americanos from all different sizes. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's run the joke.
I mean, at this point, if you're just going to make it fodder, I don't see a problem with that, right? Because at this stage now, you're just making it a mockery of what it was. And so that's fine. Because now it's not, oh, well, you know, it's not Chad Gable. It is Chad Gable. No, now it's definitely not Chad Gable, but now it's just a bunch of people dressing up as El Grande Americano until we get the actual El Grande Americano, a.k.a. Chad Gable, coming back. And then it's who's the real Americano, which could lead to the unmasking of Chad Gable.
Hunter does
this. And then everybody's going to be like, oh my God, I had no idea.
Triple H does this thing with Sam Roberts on Twitter every week where he opens up cards, right? And he pulled a Chad Gable card. And I said, you could probably get a sleeve that just covers over, and it's like, it's an El Grande Americano. Like, yeah. They're playing in, everyone's playing into a joke. Is this really all you have for the, like, cause it apparently looks like Pete Dunne, but is this really all you have for these wrestlers? Yeah.
I mean, it gets them on TV. Like, which would you rather have, that they do this or that they're in some stupid little match that they're on TV for like 3 minutes and don't get to really do anything?
Would
like,
I want to see more for Ludwig Kaiser? Yes. Would I want to see more for Pete Dunne? Yes. But if this is keeping the, but if they're keeping their job right now and getting on television, I'd rather them get their job, keep their job, play this gimmick out, and go from there. Because there could be a master plan behind all this. It's wrestling. They're not mocking. It's not mocking luchador. It can be considered that, but I'm not.
In the beginning, it was kind of mocking luchador, but now it's kind of mocking itself.
It's a parody of itself. This is not harming anyone. If it comes to a point where it's harming someone, then I'd have a problem. But I can't get too deep into it. I can't. My heart's not there. Like, this is where this is where I have to put my foot down. This is where I draw a line that they're mocking someone. It's like, they're not, because they're, I'm trying to figure the right way to phrase it. It's, yes, it can be considered mockery, but they're not making fun of it.
They're making more fun of the character than they are the traditions of which the character
They're not going after the traditions, because they have a whole promotion now. So, like, they're not
going into
that skate of it. They're not trying to tarnish the legacy of luchadors.
Yeah. Like, the whole, when this started and you had that whole introduction video and you had, you know, Gable doing what he was doing and everything like that, that was problematic. Like, that was offensive to borderline offensive, depending on how you took it. Was it entertaining? Was it funny? Sure. Yeah. But it also could be considered highly offensive to individuals. And so, like, they've kind of sort of since WrestleMania been, I think, dialing that back a little bit.
They bought a lucha promotion. They had to.
They bought a lucha promotion. So they've been kind of dialing back on that aspect of it. And with Gable getting hurt, they're having to pivot because they can't necessarily run the storyline that they were going to run with Gable there. Although it seems like maybe he's coming back. I don't know.
No, he's still plenty hurt. He was at a baseball game, still in a sling and all. He's going to be a minute.
Okay. So they're doing what they can with it, and they're pivoting, and that's why it's like, to me, them making a mockery of the actual character versus the traditions is fine, because it's less about where the character is from and more about just them making the character a joke. Now, could they change the name? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. They could change the name. They could absolutely change the name. Are they gonna? No. Of course they're not gonna. But yeah, like, to me, it's not as bad as what it was. Do I still like it? No. I don't still like it, but this was what it was, right? And like Rock said, if it lets Kaiser and Dunn get on TV, if it lets them be employed, then that's even better. Because the last thing we want is for them to get let go, because that would be bad.
Grayson Waller thought he had the backing of the New Day when he was challenging Sheamus to a fight. He did not. Sheamus versus Grayson Waller. Solid match. Sheamus gets the win afterwards. Rusev tried to interfere, but afterwards, Rusev attacked Sheamus with the shillelagh and put him in the accolade, leaving him laying.
Grayson, you sweet summer child, they're not going to back you, no matter how hard you try. They're just not going to back you. And yeah, Grayson got whooped. That's the only way to go there. And now Sheamus wants Rusev again for the third time, which I have no problem with.
Corey Graves was talking with Sami Zayn about his upcoming match with Karrion Kross. Zayn said he put everything aside and been sidetracked by Karrion Kross, but he puts it all to an end at SummerSlam. Corey asked about his ribs. This is where Karrion Kross and Scarlett showed up. Kross said that after he beat Zayn on Saturday, he wants to hear Sami say the words, "Kross told the truth," and then he'll move on. That's the only way you'll get rid of me. Then brought out the pipe, gave it to Sami. Kross said, "You're no better than me." Zayn said he would say whatever Kross wants if he beats him at SummerSlam. But if Sami wins, when he wins, he expects Karrion Kross to say he was wrong. This was good.
This was very intense. Sami kind of upped it with the pipe and sort of like threatening Kross with the pipe. But yeah, this was a nice little step up in the feud.
We had a very sad Bayley. She had no WrestleMania. She has no SummerSlam opponent. For the first time, she's a loss of words in her career. She's sad. Bayley's sad.
Bayley's sad. We should fix that. Like, Bayley should get a match at SummerSlam.
Or maybe she just gets involved with Cardi B.
That could be a thing, too.
We shall see. We had an 8-woman tag team match. Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Stephanie Vaquer, and Nikki Bella taking on Naomi, Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, and Alba Fire. I'm going to say it. The 4 babyface women looked like rock stars coming out.
Yeah, they did.
Like, the 4 of them walking to the ring, waiting at the entrance for each other. Rhea's music playing. They all walking to the ring together. They looked like fucking rock stars.
They looked pretty badass. Like, I'm not gonna lie. They all looked really badass.
It was a really good 8-person tag. Team Babyfaces got the win. Stephanie was the one who got the pinfall. Good at the her. Win. Which is surprising, seeing as Rhea and Io both are in the title match this weekend on Sunday, and hers is not till the end of August. So, but yeah, this was really good, and the right team won.
Absolutely, yeah. Keep like the heel team wasn't bad. Like, the heel team had a really good showing. Like, Chelsea's team looked good, but yeah. You look at the face team, and you're like, yeah, you kind of gotta put that over. Like, you're not gonna have that loose.
They were celebrating backstage. Rhea's like, yeah, we should get all change. And as Nikki and Stephanie are walking away, Io grabbed Rhea's arm. But as Nikki walked away, so how do you say your last name? A little playing back onto the joke that of she can't say the name. I thought that was clever. Rhea said, we're friends, but I'll finally have your number at SummerSlam. Io's like, you've never beaten me, and you never will. Rhea's like, we'll see about that.
We'll see what happens.
Lyra came to the ring. She has big shoes. They're Becky Lynch stompers. Lyra said she'll become the first ever two-time women's Intercontinental Champion, or she will not be allowed to challenge for the title again. While Becky is champion, she said some fans may think she's playing into Becky's hands, but she's seen all Becky's matches and knows what she's capable of. But Becky doesn't know what she is capable of. Becky's music played. Lyra's looking for her. Becky came out from underneath the ring with a kendo stick. Lyra caught it, went for the Nightwing. Becky escaped. Solid little build. Can't really say much more heading into SummerSlam.
A good little lead up to SummerSlam for sure. And just to build the heat in this, because obviously it's cooled off just a little bit. So you need to increase it.
Yeah, and as they've said pretty much all they can say leading up to the show.
Yeah, like this is the third iteration of this. So it's, there's nothing else really that needs to be said. So you just got to put a little heat on it and then you're good to go. And that's what they did. So I think it turned out fine.
Gunther, your world champion, came to ring. He patted himself back for going head-to-head on the mic with the supposedly best in the world. He said he left the voice of the voiceless speechless last week. Fans were chanting, "You tapped out," but Gunther said that might be true, but he wouldn't run out of things to say about CM Punk. He made Punk shut up last week. Out came Punk. Punk said Gunther didn't leave him speechless, but it dawned on him while standing across from some as great as Gunther that he doesn't want to be World Heavyweight Champion. He needs to be the World Heavyweight Champion. I need to be a champion like I need air in my lungs. Like I need to be World Champion like I need my heart to pump blood through my veins. He brought up the Red Wings needing a 12th title. He said he needed to be a World Champion like a Midwest dad needs an old style. Leaves an old style while mowing the lawn on a hot summer day. He doesn't drink or do drugs, but the championship makes him understand addiction. Punk recalled Gunther saying he doesn't deserve to be called best in the world. He doesn't deserve it. He earned it. Gunther tried to tell Punk to shut up, but Punk was like, "I was not done talking." He was putting all this over. You know, he's got how this is the best in the world. Like, I mean, the next, he's beating so many people. He talked about Gunther, how as great as he was, he's never beaten the people like that Punk has beaten. Punk's like, "There are levels to this, kid." He said Gunther would learn that he's not on his level or as great as he is. Punk said he would leave SummerSlam as the World Heavyweight Champion. And Punk said that at least Gunther would be able to know what it is like to be in the ring with him, the man, the myth, the legend, CM Punk. This was the best promo that this match needed. Punk did a very hard sell of the match on Saturday, which needed to be sold. Yeah, I thought this was a really well done promo by Punk and Gunther. But Punk brought the fire. Like, he had to sell it. He did the quotes you need for the video package. He did all the hype that was needed.
They played to their strengths very well in this, because we all know Firebrand CM Punk, right? Like, we all know that. We're all very, very, very familiar with it. So he's that's the place to go with this. And then you have Gunther be the balance of it in terms of selling the match, where you have Gunther be more calm. Because like I said, last Thursday, we're seeing Gunther kind of go out of his comfort zone a little bit with this, because his character is evolving. He's changing. He's having to do more as the World Heavyweight Champion, especially on his own without Imperium. And so because of that, he's doing things. He's trying things, but he's not what I would consider a fantastic talker. Like, he's a good talker. He's perfectly lovely. You know, I'm sure he carries a great conversation. But in terms of cutting a promo, he doesn't bring that same kind of passion and fire like what CM Punk can do on the mic.
Yeah.
And so for this promo in particular, where you're really selling this match because it is a clash of personalities, you needed Punk to really do what he does best and hit that Firebrand moment and hit those clips and do that and have Gunther stand there and be intimidating. Because let's all be honest, that is, aside from slapping titties off of people, that is what Gunther does best, is just stands there and looks scary as fuck. Because nobody wants a part of that. So I think they really play to both men's strengths here. Where Gunther got to talk and he got to cut a promo and they kind of got to go back and forth a little bit. And it was fine. It was totally good. But there's no way that Gunther is ever going to match Punk's intensity. Just no. Like, there's no way that Punk is really ever going to match Gunther's intensity. If that makes sense. Like, it's just too different. So you have to play to each other's strengths, and the fact that Gunther is very calm, he's very calculating, he's very self-assured, and then you have Punk, who's cocky as fuck, And he, like I said, he's the firebrand. And so you had them take advantage of that tonight, and it worked really, really well to sell this match.
Jey Uso came out to start the main portion of the show, but was interrupted by Paul Heyman. Heyman said he meant no disrespect and wanted to speak to him from heart to heart, from one former Bloodline member to another. Heyman came to the ring and thought about getting into the ring, but decided not to. He said he wanted to speak to Jey about family. He saw the look in Jey's eyes, so he backed away. He said he couldn't believe that Jey was teaming with Roman Reigns in the name of the family. He said that family will always let you down and get you in trouble. Heyman said that as the Oracle, but that was not a prediction. It was a prophecy. Heyman asked if Jey's mother told him when he was a kid that Santa Claus left presents on her tree. Santa didn't do it, and Jey's mother lied to him. Heyman told the fans their mothers lied to them too, except, you know, the Jewish ones, because my tribe knows better. Heyman asked if Jey's father Rikishi told him if he wanted Jey to be bigger than he ever was. Heyman said Jey's father lied to him too. Heyman asked the same about Roman Reigns and said that Roman lied to you too, Jey. He wasn't saying it out of anger or malice, because Jey Uso, I love you. He loves Jey like family. Because he also pointed out how Roman chose Solo to be the tribal chief, not Jey. Jey took issue with Heyman talking about his family. Jey asked where Heyman's family is. Jey said Heyman screwed over his family at WrestleMania and his boys screwed out his championship. But they're going to beat them at SummerSlam. Good little hype.
Good little promo. Nice callbacks to the past and, you know, the fact that we still have a very tense situation between all three of these individuals. I liked how Heyman did not get in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, I like how he was like, yeah, no, I'm not, you know, I'm going to be smart about this, and I'm just going to stay over here, at least for right now, where it's safe until my boys roll up, and then I'm going to come over.
Yeah, there was a big hype backstage with Paul Heyman and Bron Breakker hyping up Bronson Reed for his match against Jey Uso. It was Jey Uso and Bronson Reed in the main event. Bron Breakker had a plan, which was apparently causing a disqualification, then beating down Jey Uso. Roman Reigns made the save. They were clearing house. They did clear house for a minute. Then they were going to hit two big moves on the outside, but they got hit with big moves on the outside instead. A big clothesline by Bronson Reed and a big spear to Roman Reigns by Bron Breakker. Jey got hit with a tsunami. Roman got driven into a table and a tsunami. And then they both got speared through the barricade together. And then Roman Reigns was robbed of his shoes.
Like, we've hit that so hard. But it was one of those really unexpected things.
Yeah.
That you just sit there and you're like, after Braun puts them through the table or through the wall, and you're like, okay, all right, they're done. Great. That's awesome. They're done. And then it's, oh no, 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 oh no, they're not done. No, 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 no. They're going to take that man's shoes. And like I said at the top of the show, you know, those are some expensive, custom, hard to find, if not irreplaceable shoes, which just makes it better.
It does. They were like, hey, this is our stuff now. This is our WWE. This is our world now. So we're just going to take your shoes. And they did.
They did. They absolutely did. And I like that. I think the only thing I didn't really care for in this, like, the match was good. The match was fine. The aftermath was fine, especially the fight where you have the baby face or the heels look strong and the baby faces look weak and injured. So you're going into the weekend with potentially injured Roman and Jey. I know they're trying things with Braun, but at the same time, him kind of walking around being like, it's my time, it's my time, it's my time. It comes off as a little grabbing and a little desperate for me. Like, it doesn't play well to that character that he's trying to play. It comes across more as just desperate, right? Like, it's my time, you know, it's all about me now. And I understand that part of that is because Seth is not here to sell it, right? Like, Braun can't do the whole aloof thing that he normally does, because while he has Heyman to talk for him, he doesn't have Seth to really help sell it. And so I get what they're trying to do, but I kind of wish they would change Braun's narrative a little bit, because him, you know, especially going against Roman, because like I said last week, they're just on two different levels. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't, in my eye, do Braun any favors when he's already kind of like a step below Roman. And then you're having him being so grasping, because it's like, if you have to proclaim it, like if you have to tell people this is what this is, then it's not really a thing. You don't need to say it. You just need to show it. And you just need to prove that this is your yard now, essentially. That's what you have to do. And then people will believe you. So it's like, if you beat Roman and you put him down for the count, then yeah, no, people will believe that shit. But until you do that, it's just kind of sort of grasping, you know? And if you lose, it's worse.
And hopefully they don't lose on Saturday. So we'll see.
We'll see. We don't know.
But that will do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We are back live Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in. We will have news. We will have notes. We will have WWE Sims. And we will have day two, I believe, of SummerSlam. WTR got day one. We get day two.
Yes.
Yay. But we'll do quick picks for the whole show. But yes, we will be discussing day two of SummerSlam.
We're proving the whole thing. We're just doing Sims. We're doing the whole thing. We're doing Sims of day two.
Okay, that makes much more sense. Yes, so we will be doing the whole show, and we're just doing Sims of day two. So tune in for the rack. It's Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, whole show, nothing but SummerSlam this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Which means Saturday, when SummerSlam ends, we're going to talk about day one for the Rack Extra Review SummerSlam, day one when SummerSlam ends, hopefully around 10. That would be great. Same goes for Sunday night. It's WrestleTalk Radio reviewing both nights right after SummerSlam at day two ends. We'll be back next Monday. Go ahead.
From your mouth to Hunter's ears.
I mean, it's starting at 6. It can't be too long. It's only 6 matches apiece. Anyway.
You said it.
I know. Anyway, we'll be back next Monday night, whenever Monday Night Raw lands, to talk about all the fallout from SummerSlam, and we'll have a day two review of SummerSlam on the rack the following week. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card RocketSack or
Lin's M Ward.
When you buy Superman, Bob Ross, all others, battle pass skins and more, and buy Roman some kicks, because we are
hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWRD. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@Lin's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the rack for the SummerSlam preview, the SummerSlam review on Saturday, and right back here along the airways next Monday night on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.